thinking about how the Lord can help us in our emotions and some of the things we think about and feel very intensely that can lead us into trouble or lead us to actually seek the Lord more fully. And last week was about anxiety, things that trouble us and worry us, and how God could be an anchor in the storms on the outside and inside of our soul. And today and a little bit next week on anger. And anger is a huge part of our makeup. You know, we're born with the ability to be angry, and some would come out swinging or yelling or screaming or something that happens there. I wanted to show some pictures of anger on the screen. And I show these because I think we felt this way in our heart sometimes, and also we've expressed ourselves in a similar manner to what we have seen. You'll recognize each face up there. And I do respect and love all the people that I show. And as you see these pictures, remember, they're expressing a God-given emotion. So as they do that, there's not necessarily any sin involved. But I want you to see the intensity of emotion as a God-given time that people go through. And so there's our first. I was going to think this is when Coach Cower heard that some of his team missed church on Sunday. And again, the fierceness of that is probably second most common emotion, I think, would be anger. It's a very strong emotion. We felt that outwardly or inwardly. Sometimes anger is because of the fear of loss. Okay, a little bit related to fear and loss. Get angry. I don't want to lose that. Oh, I lost my sneakers. Oh, I lost my love. Oh, I lost closeness with God or a family member or something. So, and the ball game even. Anger will not necessarily change anybody else's mind. Okay, no matter how loud you yell or intensely you express yourself, you're not going to get anywhere sometimes. Not necessarily the most effective way to communicate. And there you have it. Anger sometimes does not make us a more clear communicator. And there was intensity in President Bush because of many of the trials that he faced. Same thing with President Obama. As he, you know, I don't know if that was photoshopped or what. I don't remember President Obama expressing that type of thing. But again, that doesn't necessarily make you want to agree with the person, right? Well, tell me more. I think you're going to win me over. Probably not in certain ways. Anger is contagious. One leader and another leader, and sometimes the ball gets rolling. I'm not sure what that's all about. Maybe when he heard that he was not elected as president. But just the intensity, that might have been photoshopped also. And again, genuine anger and hurt, perhaps saying, hey, I need help finding a job. You know, I can't do what you guys are asking me to do. And just the heart is seen when anger is expressed. And it can be healing, or it can be pretty dangerous. So we want the Lord to guide us in that emotion. You probably felt angry this week, and perhaps today already. The Bible says, be slow to become angry. Thank you guys for showing that. Be slow to become angry, because man's anger doesn't produce the righteous life God requires. So even though anger is an emotion that God gives us, and God has that also in His character, He wants us to be slow to get angry, and maybe take that on as a quality that the Lord would want to build in your life. If you're fast to get angry, or you're angry over a long period of time, say, Lord, change my character to be slow to become angry, because that's not going to help me follow you if I'm quick to be angry. And some of the way we express anger, too, is based on how God put us together from you know, genetically from childbirth. Some are born more with a golden retriever personality. Some are more with pit bull personalities. Okay, and the Lord can make both of them holy. And both are necessary for the health of, you know, what goes on in a community, in a family, in a church. I know, I see it in the four in my family. You know, there's that variety. And anger could be used to advance the kingdom of God. That's the exciting thing about it, since it is so energetic. But it also can destroy people, hinder God's work in your life, and even give the devil a foothold in your life. The Bible says if you let the sun go down on your anger, you give the devil a chance to influence you. And so it's a powerful, dangerous emotion, big time emotion, burns up a lot of energy. The first pastor I worked with, he was very experienced, pastor of the same church for 50 years. You know, a lot of perseverance by the church and by him. And he said, he would always tell me, you know, don't come to church angry. And try not to get angry on a Sunday morning. Because if you do, that's going to hurt you from communicating what God wants to say. Now, he meant, you know, don't beat the sheep. Feed the sheep. And somebody said, well, some of the sheep want to be beat. And some of the sheep want you to beat other people. And, you know, those are not healthy things that go on in our lives. But God can use anger from the Scripture, from the Holy Spirit. When He has grief, there's some woe involved. Remember how many times Jesus said woe in the Gospels. In other words, this is bad. Things have to be different in the heart of humanity. Anger is very popular in our culture. I remember in the schoolyard, if there was a fight, you'd get a big crowd and you'd get a lot of excitement, you know. Come on, Joe. Come on, Bob. Hit him. And all of a sudden, everybody wanted to be in on it. Nobody yawned and walked away and said, you know, saw that before. I listened to a sports talk show that has a call-in thing called Angry Tuesday. You call in, you can say what you're angry about. Fred Hansberger, who's a dear brother in Christ, went to heaven and through difficulty, he used to have something called Honked Off Friday. You call up KDK, and you leave a message on our answering machine. What you're angry about? And he played that for like 5 or 10 minutes at the end of every week. And he would blow a horn in between. You know, after the person is saying, maybe he was saying, you know, is this really worth the intensity that that person feels? Or is this something that's expressing really the heart of God against sin or evil? What's going on there? So anger is huge. Let's look at God's standard for anger and then be warned about what our anger could do so we could repent and consecrate that emotion to God. I don't know if you ever thought about consecrate your emotion to God. Let that be holy to Him. Vicki and Shelley were singing about that. You know, they were saying, all that I am, Lord, I surrender it to You. So you surrender that to God and see what He'll do with it. He'll do something holy, not something destructive. Well, Jesus is the standard for anger. And one day He was about to heal a person on the Sabbath. And He was catching flack about that. And so He said, stand up in front of everyone to the person who had a disabled hand. And He asked the question. He said, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or to destroy? Is it lawful to give life or to take life? Now, he should have got a lot of amens at that point. Amen. Heal and amen. Give life. You know, but people's hearts really weren't for Jesus at that point, nor for helping the poor guy with the difficulty. And so the Bible says Jesus looked at them with great anger and deep distress. And he healed the man. Okay, and at that point, God was able to do something good because He wanted to, and He happened to be angry when He did it. I don't know if there's times in our lives, I'm sure there are, where God is so moved with passion and some anger in there that He actually you know, does something for us, rescues us from ourselves or from some sin of somebody else. But God can work like that. He uses anger in a redemptive manner. God's redemption plan against sin is anger. So he takes action on our behalf. Interesting, the Pharisees and Herodians at that point, they got angry too. They said, let's go out and kill Jesus. So you have God's anger healing, you have man's anger destroying. And what are some of the other qualities of the Lord's anger that we could see in the Bible? It's described, for example, in 1 Corinthians 13, His love, it's not easily angered. Again, the same theme. God is slow to be angry, Psalm 103. Ask the Lord to build that quality in your life. Love keeps no record of wrongs. It doesn't store up anger, but rather gives just expression to itself. Romans 1 says, God's wrath is revealed against the ungodly. So there's definite anger going on in the universe from God's end of things. He doesn't like sin. He is taking action to bring people to himself and to stop sinful action. Psalm 7 says, God expresses his wrath every day. And God's perfectly consistent in his character in his anger against sin. Remember when Jesus cleared the temple, it was probably the most memorable expression of Jesus' anger in the Gospels. He says, this can't be like this. There was excessive selfishness, profit-taking among God's people and worship and things. And then Jesus said, this is supposed to be prayer time. You know, how'd you like to open a prayer meeting with the preacher yelling at you? Well, that's what Jesus did. He says, I want you to pray, you know. Get that motivation towards something that God would give as a gift. And interesting, Jesus does get angry in the New Testament. However, looking through the pages of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we only see him getting angry about a dozen times over a 3-year ministry. You know, for some of us, we hit that mark last week. You know, we're like, this is our style. Examples of godly anger in the Bible: Abraham. He was measured in some of the faith he had to take. Joseph, sure, you know, loss in his life and separation from family and things. Joseph said, I'm going to take all the motion in my life, I'm going to follow God with it. Well, that's tremendous. God could do that for us. And King David, good use of anger most of the time. The prophet Daniel, very long-suffering. Hosea, more broken-hearted than angry. Did you ever, you know, with loved ones close to you, your heart gets broken. And you don't want to lash out at them. You want to draw them near. It's a good test for your anger. Do you draw people near with your anger, or do you push them away? God would have you draw them near to you and to himself. People who flew off the handle in the Bible, in case you have that problem, James and John. Okay, they lost it occasionally. If you do, don't. You know, kick yourself out of the kingdom of God. James and John, Peter, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was a real bad aim. Took his sword out, tried to hit the guy in the head, totally missed, hit his ear. And Paul and Barnabas, fierce disputes. As a warning against human anger, Richard Baxter, a famous English pastor in the 1600s, he says, anger becomes sinful when it leads to sinful thoughts, words, or action. So that emotion, is that leading me to follow the Lord, or is it leading me to something else? It's also sinful if it stays too long. You know, we carry it around. Talking to somebody the other day, mentioned something they were angry about, and it was really something that happened back in the year 2000. I was thinking, wow, they've been angry for 10 years about that. That's not a good way to live. If it stays too long, motivated by self-interest, pride, or greater than the offense calls for. Okay, that's the example of road rage, I think. You know, when you're driving and somebody cuts you off and all of a sudden you turn into just a tiger. Where did that anger come from? Didn't come from the Chevrolet. Didn't come from the Ford you're driving. It came from your heart. You were carrying that around. Is it something else that's really, you know, bothering you that you want to put before God and say, God, I need your help with that? A good check on anger is to realize you will get most angry with those who are closest to you. Okay, and issues you have made closest to your heart. So you might say, well, some people get angry about little things. Have you made little things close to your heart? Some people get angry about who's closest to you, and you're going to get most angry with family, neighbors, country, close to your heart, church, close to your heart, hopefully, God. God, we'll talk a lot about that next week. When God turned to Jonah and said, "Do you have a right to be angry about what I'm doing in your life?" And Jonah gave the Lord the business. And God would have us consecrate our anger to Him and think about things that are honorable and true and righteous. A good principle for controlling our anger and having it be holy is this. If there is no sin, there is no cause for anger. If there is no sin, there is no cause for anger. The story of the man who went to go shopping for a pair of pants. He went to one store, they didn't have his size. He went to the other store, they didn't have his color. He went to the third store, the line was too long. Getting mad throughout the day. I hate all these stores, you know. What was the common factor in all those experiences? It was the man. What's the common factor of all the experiences you have being angry? It is you. You got to own that anger. You got to take responsibility for it and make sure you put it before God so that it could be expressed, drawing people to you and drawing people to Christ. Two unhealthy ways of dealing with anger. One is holding it in. We're probably better at that than exploding. You know, how many times have you seen me explode? Some have. Most have not. So if I am angry, then I hide it pretty good. It'll come out on the road somewhere. But the Bible says anger resides in the lap of fools. It'll lead you to sin. If you hold on to anger before the sun goes down, we ask for trouble. I think it's wise to say, if you sense anger in your soul or somebody else's soul, as soon as possible, you go and you try to deal with that. You know, have a plan. Take action. More action, less anger. We'll be healthy. You'll be following Jesus' way at that point. Someone said, holding on to anger is self-inflicted pain. We see that in bitterness. We see that in addictions. You see that in young people who go through cutting. When they hurt themselves and even, you know, saying, I'd rather not be here. That's because of great pain and hurt. And God cares about that, and God can move into that to bring health. And when we are angry, God doesn't want us to hold it in, but rather say, I feel angry about that. You know, and I want God's direction about it. And ask for help. Because there might be people who can bring wisdom and calmness and action to a thing that you're angry about, and God can help. Second unhealthy way of dealing with anger is to just let it loose. Just say it. You know, speak what's on your mind. Go ahead. That's pretty much the world's way. Let it rip. And that's become popular, you know, in the body of Christ. Full force. Malice. Revenge. Rage. gossip, verbal and physical attack. That's not of God, any of those things. And God says, you know, take the emotion you feel. You feel it for a reason. Find me there. And I can bring healing to your soul and send you to action or give you my peace while you take the action. Albert Einstein, a bright guy, obviously said, I'm not so concerned about the evil in the world. I'm concerned about those who don't do anything about the evil. So, Lord, to teach me how to have a holy anger. Maybe that's one of the later works God gives to a believer. I found, just to give encouragement, if you struggle in that area, people 65 or over often have dealt with the issue of consecrating their anger, and they're able to handle walking with the Lord a lot better. You know, you don't seem flying off the handle as much or being down. God has dealt with that, and He can, even if you're beyond that age. Consecrate your anger to God. Say, Lord, help me be holy, loving, and truthful, and reconciling in my anger. Wouldn't it be great if all that anger you had, which is a tremendous source of energy, would be put toward the furtherance of the gospel? You would be like a John the Baptist, or a John Wesley, or Billy Graham. You'd be, whoa! Folks, you know, they're really following the Lord. Need that in my own life. A great example of action instead of anger is in the life of Charles Colson. He was known as Hatchet Man for President Nixon. Went in the wrong directions for a lot of times. Ended up toward prison, but received the Lord first. And, you know, all the things he saw wrong in his own soul, wrong in the prison system, and wrong in government, he said, I'm going to take what God gave me and work with the same energy to honor the Lord. And wow, what a life he has now, fulfilled, you know, taking on different things for the honor of Christ, really reflects the Lord. And so to consecrate that before God, for our own warning, just the warning before we close in prayer. Jesus said at the end of John 3, whoever rejects the Son won't see life because God's wrath will remain on him. I think that's a warning for any person. Not only a believer, but also somebody who hasn't received Christ. You know, if I'm a believer and I'm rejecting the Son and His ways, if I'm rejecting Christ and His ways, I'm going to feel the grief of the Lord in my life, and it's not going to be pleasant. And I have to face what He's talking to me about. I don't want His wrath remaining on me. If you're stooped over spiritually, is it because you've forsaken God or in His ways, particularly in the area of anger? Or if you're a person who never received Christ, you're walking around, I like church, I like this, I like that, I'm not surrendering my life to Christ. Jesus would tell you with great love and intensity, His wrath remains on you. He says, turn around because I love you. Would you turn around and surrender your life to Him? Because that love can change you from a person of unholy anger to holy anger, and make peace with God in terms of that emotion that is one of the most destructive, but can be a source of great action. As we close in prayer, just let the Holy Spirit search your heart and ask yourself, am I right with the Lord in regards to anger? Have I held it in and my life is, I'm not known as a peaceful, thankful, happy person. I'm known as another angry guy in an angry world or gal. God can bring healing. And let's have a quiet prayer and just hear God speak to you if you would. Would you say to the Lord, I offer my anger to you, Lord. Show me what I need to know. I can't figure it out. I don't know how to have holy anger. So God will help you through Jesus. The change will probably start between you and the Lord. So ask for the peace of God as a gift. Someday you'll hear the words of Jesus echo, blessed are the peacemakers, and he'll be talking about you. And it'll be a commitment of lifestyle. And for many of us, it'll be motivating. All of a sudden, instead of being shrugging our shoulders and giving up, we'll have a holy anger. We'll be more active than ever following the Lord who loves us. Let the Holy Spirit do these works in us now and throughout this week and building us up in that good way. Lord, bring your love and holiness into this area of our lives. We trust you with it. In Jesus' name, amen.